శ్రీమాన్ అభయ చరణారవింద భక్తి వేదాంత గోస్వామి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి జయం. తిరిలా ప్రవిష్ణ విష్ణుపాద పరమహంస పరిబ్రాజకాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమాన్ భక్తి సిద్ధాంత సరస్వతి మహర్షిల ప్రభుపాదికి ఆనందమొడి వైష్ణవ బృందకి నామాచార్య శ్రీ హరిదాస్ ఠాకూర్కి ప్రేమ సహో శ్రీకృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధార శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త బృందకి శ్రీ శ్రీ రాధాకృష్ణ గోప గోవినాథ శ్యామకుండ రాధాకుండగిరి గోవర్ధానికి బృందావన్ ధామికి మాయపూర్ ధామికి మధురపురి ధామికి జగన్నాథ్పురి ధామికి ద్వారకాపురి ధామికి గంగమాయికి యమునమాయికి తులసిదేవికి భక్తిదేవికి సామవేద భక్త బృందకి గో ప్రేమానంది. ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అని గౌరంగ, ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీల ప్రభుపాద్. నమామి శుభదాయ కృష్ణ ప్రసాయ బోధలే శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నినామిని. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రజారిణి నిర్విశేష శూన్యవాది పాశ్చాత్య దేశధారిణి. ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ, ఓం నమో భగవతే వాసుదేవాయ. సంసార సాగరే మగ్నం దీనం మాం కరుణానిధే కర్మగ్రాహసహీతాంగం మాముద్ధర భవార్ణవాన్. శ్రీమద్భాగవదాఖ్యోయం ప్రత్యక్ష కృష్ణమేవ హి శ్రీకృతోసి మయా నాథ ముక్త్యర్థం భవ సాగరే. మనోరథే మదీయోయం సబలా సర్వదా త్వయా నిర్విఘ్నేనైవ కర్తవ్యం దాసోహం తవ కేశవ. భవే భవే యదా భక్తి పాదయోస్తవ జాయతే తథా కురుష్వ దేవేశ నాథస్త్వం నో యద ప్రభో. నామ సంకీర్తనం యస్య సర్వ పాప ప్రణాశనం ప్రణామో దుఃఖ శమనం తం నమామి హరిం పరం. జన్మాద్యస్య యదోన్వయాదితరత శాస్త్రేష్వభిజ్ఞ స్వరా తేనే బ్రహ్మ హృదయ ఆది కవయే ముహ్యంతి యత్ సూరయ తేజోవారిప్రదం యథావినిమయో యత్ర త్రిసర్గో మృషాం నామ్నా సేన సదా నిరస్తకుహకం సత్యం వరం ధీమహి. ధర్మ ప్రోజిత కైదమోత్ర వనమో నిర్మత్సరాణాం సదాం వేద్యం వాస్తవమత్ర వస్తు శివదం తావత్రయోన్మూలనం. శ్రీమద్భాగవతే మహాముని కృతే పరైరీశ్వర సద్యో హృద్యవరుద్య నేత్ర కృతిభి శుశ్రూషుభి తక్షణాల్పనరోర్గలితం ఫలం శుభముఖానమృతంద్రవ సంయుతం విపద భాగవతం రసమాలయం ముహురహోరసికా భువి భావుకాః. సచ్చిదానందరూపాయ విశ్వోత్పత్త్యాదిహేతవే తాపత్రయ వినాశాయ శ్రీకృష్ణాయ వయం నమః. ప్రవ్రజంతమనుపేతమపేతకృత్యం వివాయనో విరహకాతరమజుహావాం ఇతన్మయత్తరమోభినేదు తం సర్వభూతహృదయం మునిమానదోస్మి. యస్వానుభావమఖిల శ్రుతిసారమేకం అధ్యాల్పదీపమలితి దీర్షదాంధమోంధం సంసారిణాం కరుణయాః పురాణగుహ్యం తం వ్యాససూనుముపయామి గురుం మునీనాం. నారాయణం నమస్కృత్య నరం చైవ నరోత్తమం దేవీం సరస్వతీం వ్యాసం తతో జయముదీరయే. కమనీయ కిశోరముగ్ధమూర్తే కళవేణుకొనిదాదృదాననేందోః మమ వాచి విజృంభతాం మురారే మధురిన్న కణికాభికాభికాపి. నమామి విష్ణుపదాయ కృష్ణప్రసాయ బోధనే శ్రీమతే భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామిని నామినే. నమస్తే సరస్వతి దేవి గౌరవాణి ప్రచారిణి ദുർവിശേഷാശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമദ്ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമഃ. വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജസ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ്ണശാസാം ഹരിഗതോ ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പ്രമാണവേ നമഃ. പീതാംബരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഖം കൗമോദരീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാഹാസഹായമതിസുന്ദര മന്ദഹാസം വാഹാലേശമനിശം പ്രതിപാവയാമി. പൂജയന്മേം ശമനോയം വേദവേദ്യമരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരഗോ മമ ഹരോതി വാചാലം ലംഘയതി. നമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാനന്ദമാനന്ദമാനന്ദമം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ. സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ. സോ അറ്റ് ദി കൺക്ലൂഷൻ ഓഫ് ദിസ് ഭിക്ഷുഗീത കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് നിർവിദ്യ നഷ്ടദ്രവിണോ ഗതക്ലമ പ്രവ്രജ്യകാം പര്യടമാനം ഇത്ഥം നിരാകൃതോ അസദ്ഭിരവി സ്വധർമ്മ അകമ്പിതോമും മുനിരാഹ ഗാഥാം. ദാറ്റ് വാസ് ദി ഫൈനൽ വേർഡ്സ് ഫ്രം കൃഷ്ണ അബൌട്ട് ദിസ്. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് ടു ഉദ്ധവ, ഉദ്ധവ ദിസ് ബ്രാഹ്മണ അവന്തി ബ്രാഹ്മണ ആഫ്റ്റർ ഹി ഹാഡ് ദിസ് എക്സ്പീരിയൻസ് ഇൻ ഹിസ് ലൈഫ് then he had sung a song which is called this Bhikshugita. And normally in ordinary world, suppose an ordinary person like one of us, if some by chance a lot of money we have acquired in life, and because then you feel a little bit comfort in life, I have enough money to live for the rest of my life. And such a person, suppose he has lost all his money by some reason. Suppose he's lost everything. What will he feel? He will feel great disappointment in life. This is an ordinary person's life. He has acquired a lot of wealth, but due to some circumstances, he has lost all his money. Either through the government controls or through the war and things like that. So he has struggled very hard to make that money, but he will feel unhappy because he could not utilize it properly, isn't it? That will be there in his dissatisfaction. Not purely that he lost the money, but also the reason that he couldn't use it properly and he has lost everything. So he may feel that how stupid I am that it has lost everything like that, and he will feel frustrated about it. In the same way, so Krishna says this, our Avadhuta Brahmana, also this Avanti Brahmana is saying that he is explaining to us that I have lost everything, but because I had this Nirvedam. Krishna uses that word Nirvidyam. Nirvidyam. Vairagyam I got, he says. I got, the result of that is, I had Vairagyam, he says. So, because Vairagya means, Gadaklamaham, no distress has happened to him. He didn't feel distressed about it. He says, I got a great asset, he says. What's that? This Vairagyam came to me, which I didn't have before. I was hankering after things, acquiring wealth. That greed was building up inside so strongly. He's saying, now that everything has gone, I didn't feel too disappointed about the money. But and I was actually feeling happy in one sense. That thing what I didn't have before, I got it now. What was that? Vairagyam. Vairagyam. He's glorifying Vairagyam. Who? Avanti Brahmana. Nirvedam, he says. Nirvedam. Nirvedam has come to me, he says. Now, he's not thinking that I lost all my money
how I'm going to survive in this world, how sad it is, because I worked very hard without proper thinking about life, I've acted wrongly. All these things didn't bother him so much. He felt that he got something which he didn't have before. This Vairagyam's power is like that. It opens the eyes, isn't it? It opens one's eyes and makes us to see things in the proper way. It happens in life to many people. It happened to Avanti Brahmana. It happened to Pingala. Is it not? Same thing happened to Pingala. That when Vairagyam came, she started seeing things properly. What they say, the inside eye has opened. Inside eye. Because there is darkness inside. And therefore we can't see things properly. Everything we are seeing in a colored way. Money is important, name is important. So many things are important in this world. But due to this attachment to that wealth, which was very strong in his mind, and when Krishna suddenly took out everything, Vairagyam came to him. And he says, I have started seeing things properly, in the proper way. In the Bhagavadam, you will see this. In twice, Krishna mentions this. Yasyaham anugrihnami harishe tadanam shanai. If I want to open somebody's eyes properly, what I do is, I take out everything from him. Tado dhanam tejandasya sojanal dukkha dukkhida. When the money is all lost, he will start seeing in a proper way things, life, about life. All the money is gone. Because as soon as that happens, Krishna is saying there in the Bhagavadam, that tado dhanam tejandasya, all the money is gone, then he will see that the illusion he had created in relationship with his friends and relatives and everything. It was an illusion that he had in. He was thinking, oh, I have my friends, I have my family, I have my society. Nobody is there at that time. Tato dhanam tajandasya sojanal. Sojana means his own people will leave him. Dukha dukhidaha. And he becomes extremely unhappy. And then he will start seeing things properly. This is the benefit, advantage he is saying here. So, he is saying here, now I am so free because he has unloaded everything, the baggage. He is saying, I am so free. And I have therefore started my journey now. In this world, I don't owe anything to anybody. I have no obligations to anyone. And I am not attached to anything, nor I am bound by anybody. That freedom from everything. Freedom from everything. Exactly this is Krishna has told Uddhava, is it not, in the beginning? Tondu sarvam parityajya, break up all the connections. Sarvam parityajya, who sneham sojana bindushu. In the Ekadasha Skandam, 7th chapter you can read, which is the very message of the Ekadasham. Tondu sarvam parityajya, sneham sojanam bindushu. All connections with your own people and relations. Then, mayavesha mana, Krishna says, be fixed on the truth, on me. Mayavesha mana, samyak, never to come back again from that, never to go back to the world again, always fixed in there. Then, samadrik, with equally sees everybody in this world, never give any dundvam, there should be no dundvam, higher and lower, or good and bad, right and wrong, all this dundvam must go. That it means samadrik. Then what he says, vijarasokam, that pass your time in this world and leave this world in that way. That's what Krishna told Uddhava. Our Avanti Brahmana has come to that stage now. That's what he's saying here. So I had no more, I didn't have to think anymore anything, about worry about anything, or complain about anything, he says. And although I have been put into problems by the wicked people, even then I had no complaint against them. Never I analyzed about it anymore. No hankering, no lamentation, no complaints about anybody in this world. Why? Because he realized this is the nature of this world. Proper way you are seeing the world at that time. He is seeing the world properly. No more thinking that the world is a fantastic place. He understood the real nature of this world. That is what he is saying here. So, because of that, what did he do? Without even a deviating, even a inch from his dharmam. My dharmam, he is saying that I should be fixed on the truth, on the realization. That is more important. I have experienced that realization now, and I will be situated in this state. I won't move away from this. And from the rest of the time, he stayed with that truth. He didn't deviate from that. And that is why he mentions here. And after that, he looks at this world and he is talking to the world. After he got out of the world, he has come out of the world. Like in the Bhagavatam, he calls it as Lokabahya. Lokabahya means one who has escaped from this world. He is called a Lokabahya. You can see in the Akadasha Skandam in the second chapter, I think it is Hari Maharshi or Kavi who says this, Lokabahya. He used, Kavi says this. One who has escaped from the world, from this world. It's called Lokabahya. And when he is saying, when he is looking at the world and he's seeing people like us and he's feeling sorry for us, seeing our situation. And he says, when I see this, he says, I'm feeling very distressed. Because if I want to remove your distress, I can't do it, he says. I can't remove your distress because you are suffering here, not knowing what's the cause of your own distress. I can't do anything about it, he's saying. You are suffering due to only one reason, because you don't know what is causing this situation for you. Therefore, let me tell you one thing, he says. I am feeling distressed about this, seeing your problem, but let me tell you one thing. I can tell you what's the cause of your happiness and distress. And if you destroy that thing, then you will not feel this happiness and distress. And that's your mind. That's all advice from him to this world. So that is why it is mentioned, that is why he says there in that last verse, Sugodukha Pradonanyaha Purushasya Almavibramaha Mitro Udasinari Bhava Samsara Tamasakradaha. That is that advice. Advice to the world. Sugadukha Pradonanyaha. Sugham Dukham is not coming from outside. Sugadukha Prado na anyaha. No other person is giving you problem. Nobody is giving you any distress or problem. Suga dukha pradona anyaha purushasya alma vibhramaham. That purushasya alma vibhramaham. That because you have purushasya alma vibhramaham, that it is all in the mind. It's all in the mind. You have lost your identity, who you are, than where it has come from. Whole problem has come because you lost your identity, who you are. Atmavibhramam has happened. Atmavibhramam means that instead of knowing who you are, you have identified with somebody else, body and the mind. This is Atmavibhramam. Atmavibhramam means forgetting our own identity as Atma and identifying with the mind or the body. Purushasya Atmavibhramam. That is why saying here, that if you realize that sukha dukkha pradonanyaha purushasya alma vibhramaha, then mitra udasinari bhava, because of that you have got friends, enemies and neutral people in this world with whom you have relationships and like that. And the only thing is samsara tamasakradaha, that this jnanam avidya must go from inside. And that means you have to come out of there, come out of the mind. Because mind has caused this situation. The cause behind all these things, that is the mind. Not the people, nor anybody else is responsible for this situation. Nobody has caused any problem for you. Your own mind. And get that mind to surrender. Get that mind to surrender and disappear. For that purpose, that is the only responsibility you have in this world, says the bhikshu. This is your only task. This is your only goal in life. And for this purpose, you have to follow dharma, he says. You have to follow dharma. Because so long as
the mind has not come under control, no matter whichever way you have lived your life in this world, or you have acquired anything in this world, and whichever way you have lived in this world, your mind will never be satisfied. It will not feel peace inside. And only expectation is that the mano nirodham comes on the other, bring this mind under control. Because if it is not there, you will always be in this duality. What duality? This is my friend, this is my enemy. This is my relative, this is not my relative. In this way, I will have a connection with this world in that way. And that Veda Buddhi, this is called Veda Buddhi, that Veda Buddhi is a creation of the mind. Mind creates that, this distinction between different bodies, who they are. And that is never true, he says. Because the root cause of all that is tamogunam. That he says there, samsaram tamasakrita. Tamogunam creates that experience in us. So, because this world what we see, we are experiencing that in the satyabuddhi. Satyabuddhi means thinking that it is real, isn't it? That is how we are taking this world all the time, as the world is real. And the root cause of this existence of this world, it is satyanam, avidya. Avidya is behind it. That's why you are seeing so much reality in the world, how you feel the world is real. If that tamogunam in us, what is causing that, if that goes away, then you will know that there is no such thing called a creation. Creation hasn't happened. This is the same topic we are discussing in the next chapter. Creation hasn't happened from the Vedanta point of view. We'll discuss that in a little bit detail there. So, that tamogunam, this is a difficult thing to talk to people, isn't it? And Brahmana himself is saying to us, because he has reached that stage, he's telling us the world has not been created. There is no world in existence. Because tamogunam, when tamogunam is there, the more there is tamogunam in us, we will see the world is more real to us. World is more real to us. So, and because of that, I will feel that I am feeling the distress from the world. I am feeling the distance of it. This is called mithyabhramam. Mithyabhramam. Because once this satyabuddhi comes, satyabuddhi means that like what happened to him now, through vairagyam, he started seeing things in a different way. He is saying here that I understood now it is possible to come out of this world. World is not simply that object there. The effect of that world in us, that's what's more important, isn't it? So, at that point he will realize that this sukham dukham, happiness and distress, what one is experiencing, he himself is the responsible. He himself is responsible. Why? Because he didn't control his mind. Therefore he is responsible. Not the world is responsible. Nor anybody else responsible. I didn't control my mind properly. Control means that mind didn't come under subjugation. In other words, it did not. I allowed the mind to grow as a force inside me and not allow the mind to disappear like it happens in the deep sleep state. So, and so long as it is not under this control, this happiness and distress is not possible to stop coming in life. So, therefore, he is looking at the world and says to us, turn inwards, he says. He is saying, go inwards. He says, don't go to the world. Go inwards. Take your attention inwards. And inquiring about others and other objects in this world, please stop that. Let them go their way. And try to find out yourself who you are, he says here. And once I have realized that, then happiness and distress won't be there. Because it's not there, I'm experiencing this happiness and distress. That is his final message to the world. Sukha dukha prado nanya purushasya alma vibhramaha mitra udasino ribhava samsara tamasakrita. This is the Avanti Brahmana's message to the world.
And Krishna is repeating that to us. And in the next verse he says, duality must go. Duality will be there. But how to deal with the duality? Duality is the problem. Dundvam. So he is saying here, therefore, with intelligence he is saying that with full consciousness of the self, try to control the mind. Try to control the mind. And that is the only way to come to Shanti state, to peaceful state. And with that awareness, that means all my consciousness must come to that stage as though it is a surrender to Krishna. See that how Brahmana says? What happened to him at that stage? Tasmal sarvaatmana tada nigrahana manodhiyaha mayavishnaya yukta edavan yoga sangraha. With that, I came to this realization, he says, that complete surrender to Krishna. Complete surrender to Krishna. That with this awareness, with what awareness? That mind is responsible. Mind is responsible for my happiness and distress. Therefore, I hand over that mind to Krishna. I hand over the mind to Krishna, which means that anything happens in the mind, it is Krishna's problem, not your own problem anymore. Whatever Krishna, that is surrender. Surrender means that not to complain anymore about anything in this world. That is surrender. And that stage will come, that can only happen if we hand over mind to Krishna. And when we hand over to Krishna, then it is Krishna's mind. Let Krishna decide, that is called surrender. Let Krishna decide what he wants to do with me. If you remain in that state, then Avanti Brahmana is saying that mind won't disturb you anymore. If you remain in like that, the moment you leave that, ahankaram will wake up inside. And it will, that, and he says here, in this way, control the mind, he says, by handing it over to Krishna. Mayaveshida, meshidaya yukta, edavan yoga sangraha. By handing over the mind to Krishna, and live in this world. Hand over your body and mind to Krishna and live in this world. That way it will not cause any problem anymore in life. He's saying you can sail through this world without any problems. Without any problems. So he says here, whichever yoga system you follow, whether Jnana Yogam or Bhakti Yogam, Raja Yogam, Karma Yogam, whatever it may be, you can call it. That's what he says here. Edavan Yoga Sangraha. Doesn't matter what yoga system you are following. Because for a devotee through Bhakti Yogam, for a Jnani through the Jnana Yogam, for a Karmi through a Karma Yogam, whatever it may be, ultimately what does he want from all that? To get the control over the mind. Through Jnana Yogam for a Jnani, Bhakti Yogam for a devotee, or a Karma Yogam for a Karmi, ultimately what he wants is a control over the mind. So, and if you have succeeded in doing that, in getting the mind under control, then you have won against the material existence, samsara. You have won over the material existence, that he says here, he says like that. And if you have won over the samsara, then that means that you have come to know the truth. You have come to know the self, what the self is, and reach the truth. This is the reality, he says. So, because when we experience samsaram, it is the mind that has come and expanded as the samsaram. Once you have got this mind under control, then the samsaram is gone. It's from the mind samsaram has come. Three modes of nature and the vasanas together, isn't it? So, the impression I have about my mind at the moment is that it does a lot of good to me. It is helping me and it is giving me a lot of happiness. And now I am realizing that. He's saying, it is through this mind I have experienced all my happiness in this world. And therefore I am always thinking, that my happiness of my mind is the priority. That's the way I lived in this world. He is saying, Bhikshu is saying, I lived in this world because to satisfy my mind, I worked hard, collected all the wealth to make their mind happy. And similarly, all of us, he is saying, are doing things in this world to make your own mind happy. But today, he is saying, I have realized one thing. It is the same mind for whom I have worked hard to make myself happy. That is my greatest enemy as well. I found out that. See how he is saying his own realizations coming out. It is the very same mind to make whom happy he worked all his life and tried to help to mind, make the mind happy. Now today I realize it, he's saying that this mind itself is my greatest enemy. He's saying like that. So, that because I did not have a control on him properly, therefore I have got into this problem. Otherwise this would have never happened. After saying this, he says that, that Bhikshu Brahmana says that, that I will remain in my Brahmanishta. Ya edam bhikshunam gitam, he says. This Bhikshu Gita make a person what? Brahmanishta. Brahmanishta means fixed on the truth about Atma. And this song, he says, that if you have understood this properly, that's the most important thing. You got to, three things he's saying here. Dharayan, Shravayan, Shrunvan. If you do that with this Bhikshu Gita, first is to hear Shrunvan. Or if somebody speaks about it, to hear that. Shravayan. Shravayan, Shrunvan. But more important that, you can see the first thing spoken about is Dharayan. Dharayan is more important than Shravayan and Shrunvan. That is why it's spoken first. So Dharayan means that to reflect very seriously about it. It's a very serious thing what he has realized, is it not? And Krishna has taken special effort to put that in this Uddhava's instructions to Uddhava. See, Krishna is saying to this world also, he is in complete agreement with the Brahmana, on the Brahmana. Otherwise Krishna wouldn't have brought this up. Is it not? And Uddhava mentioned to Krishna, the greatest problem in self-realization is this. Which one? That how our connection with the world. And the world is sometimes very rude and cruel to us. And it hurts. And you get sometimes criticized in so many ways. And you don't know how to react with the world. And we consider it creates enmity inside the mind. And sometimes we find that happiness and distress is constantly coming to us from the world. So Bhikshu found out that the problem is not with the world. Problem is with us ourselves. The mistake we have done was, all along our life we try to please the mind by doing various things, all for the benefit of making the mind happy. But ultimately, he is saying, when this incident happened in his life, I opened my eyes and I started seeing things properly. He is saying that they are not responsible, and that's why he refuted everybody. Janam, Devada, Alma, Graham, Karmam, Kalam. Major ones, all major ones. None of them are responsible. I allowed my mind, tried to please my mind without thinking about its real nature. But now I have understood, he says, that this mind whom I try to please is my greatest enemy. He is giving me the greatest anxiety, fear, worry, illusion, everything. So he says here that if you study this, this is called Bhikshu Gita is a Prakaranam. One special topic, separated from the thing. So this Prakaranam, if it is if you study very well, and if you continuously allow that to work inside us, then the duality of the world will not affect you. Because you know what the truth is, isn't it? You will know the truth because you understood from the Bhikshu. He's giving you a direct instruction to us. That you understand this is the nature of the world, let that not disturb you anymore, he's saying. So, therefore, in Vedantam they say, if you just study Bhakti-gita properly, well, you can get out of this world. That's a benediction for this. Shukha Brahmarshi says there, isn't it? Dharayan, Shravayan, Shrunuan, Dvandvair Nevabhi Bhuyade, Dvandvam will go. Once the Dvandvam has gone, problem is gone. There's no more problem after that. So, that is where the Bhakti-gita ends. After this, now, we'll go to the next chapter. Go to the next chapter. Here, we mentioned before that a little background of this next chapter. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, like in the Bhagavad Gita, in Krishna's instructions to Uddhava, like Krishna has done with Arjuna, Krishna has done the same thing with Uddhava also. In the Vedic system, there is six different philosophical schools of thought. Six different philosophical schools of thought. Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshikam, Purvamimamsa, Uttaramimamsa. They are the six different schools of thought. Six different philosophical conclusions, in other words. All six of them accept Vedam as authority. You see how broad it is. It's not so limited to one book and one one thought. There is, because the sages who gave us these schools of thought, all of them are great personalities. Sankhyam comes from Kapila Maharshi. Kapilam, it's called, isn't it? Kapilam. Kapila Maharshi is the founder of the Sankhya philosophy. Then Nyayam, Gautama Maharshi is the founder of the Nyaya philosophy. Then Yogam, Patanjali Maharshi is the founder of the Yoga philosophy. Sankhyam, Nyayam, Yogam. Then Vaisheshikam, Kanana Maharshi is the founder of the Vaisheshika philosophy. Then Karma Mimamsa, Jaimini is the founder of the Karma Mimamsa. And the last one is Uttara Mimamsa, otherwise known as Vedantam. The founder is Vedavyasa Maharshi. So six towering personalities, unbelievably powerful personalities. If you look into each one of them, their life and their... you can see them all over. In whole Vedic literature, you find them everywhere. All of them. Whether it is Kapila Maharshi, whether it is Gautama Maharshi, or Kanadan, or Patanjali, or Jaimini, or Vedavyas. All of them are powerful rishis, sages. They are the rishis. All six of them have their own philosophical schools of thought. Philosophical schools of thought. They developed over a long period of time. All of them have come into existence. They existed at different times and they were powerful at different times. They were powerful at different times. Sankhyam is one of the earliest ones. Earliest ones. If you ask anyone following Sankhyam today, practically not much who purely follows Sankhya philosophy. If you ask anyone who follows Yogam, Ashtangam, not much. There are, but not much. Very, very few. So, similarly with Nyayam also. Gautama Maharshi's Nyayam. At one time, Nyayam philosophy was very strong. And the Nyayam, mainly Nyayam philosophy was centered around Navadvip and Mayapur at the time. Navadvip and Mayapur were very well known for the Nyaya philosophy. There were so many famous Nayayikas, they are called, who studied Nyayam and who preached Nyaya philosophy. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself taught Nyayam. You can see in the, while you read Chaitanya Charitamrita, he himself taught Nyayam. But why today, in right now, at this moment in time, or the recent history also, if you look back, when Vedantam came, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam came, Vedantam took over above everything else because of its higher development, in other words, in other sense that, for various reasons, because When Vedavyasa Maharshi presented Brahma Sutram and all the Puranams and Mahabharatam and everything, through which he presented the truth which is known as Vedantam, and from there three schools of thought came from this Vedantam: Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam. Three different schools of thought came from Vedantam. All three are accepted in the Vedantam. Nobody is rejected. That also we must know. You shouldn't think one is right, one is wrong. No, that's not how it works. In Vedantam, all the three schools of thought are accepted: Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam and Dvaitam. So that came through Vedantam. So Vedantam has these three different divisions and or different thoughts. Apart from that, prior to Vedantam existed all others. For example, one time Sankhyam was powerful. Then Yogam became powerful. Then Nyayam became powerful. When one new one becomes powerful, the other one naturally fades away. Isn't it? So first Sankhyam, then Nyayam, then Yogam. Then Vaisheshika philosophy came. Then that disappeared. Then Purva Mimamsa. For some time before Vedavyasa Maharshi's Brahma Sutram was created, Jaimini's Karmakandam was very famous. Whole country was in the Jaimini's control. And Jaimini is a disciple of Vedavyasa. So you shouldn't think that although a disciple, philosophically they can disagree. There is no harm in that. Philosophically you can disagree. We have some misunderstanding about all these things. That if you have a spiritual master, whatever he has said, only you can say, whatever he is thinking, everything. It's not like that, always. There is always flexibility within this system. Only thing is, everybody accepts Vedam as authority. That is the important principle. All the six schools of thought, they accept Vedam as authority. There is, and all of them have come from Vedam. All of them have come from Vedam. So you can't reject anybody under any circumstances. But different, they don't say, Vedavyas doesn't say, you're all rubbish, I'm the only one correct. Or Kapila Maharshi says, doesn't say, I am the only one right, they're all wrong. Nobody says that. They are saying to us, through their own study of the Shastram and through their inward going nature, inward looking, they're all very Andramukham, isn't it? Andramukhata means inward looking is very strong in them. Too deep they have gone in their own way. And from there these realizations have come. And that is what they have presented to us. So therefore you can't find fault with anyone. They are all accepting the authority of Vedam. They are all great personalities. And they are all highly inward looking nature. So nobody is rejected. And this is the reason Krishna also has accepted all of them. You can see that. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has taken Patanjali's Yoga, Kapila Maharshi's Sankhyam, Vedavyasa Maharshi's Vedantam, everything is there. Very small degree, Jaimini's Karmakandam also. In the Karma Yogam chapters, that's what you find, Jaimini's Karma Yogam principles. So, Jaimini, Krishna has taken, Vedavyasa Maharshi, Krishna has taken as the main, this is Vedavyasa Maharshi's Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? So, Vedavyasa Maharshi did not reject everybody else. Let's look at Bhagavad Gita this way, that it is Vedavyasa Maharshi's creation. So Vedavyasa Maharshi, while presenting his Vedantam, he did not reject Sankhyam completely. He took Sankhyam. He took Yogam, Patanjali's Yogam. He took Jaimini's, his own disciple who differs from him as far as the Jaiminiya Sutram. Like Vedavyasa wrote Brahma Sutram, Jaimini wrote Jaiminiya Sutram, which is known as Karma Sutram. He has taken from that into the Bhagavad Gita. So what means Vedavyasa has not rejected any of them. But what the difference is, that everything what Sankhyam says, Vedavyas don't accept it. There is disagreement. That is where Vedantam differs. Everything what Sankhyam says, Kapila Maharshi says, Vedavyas does not accept it. A lot of it is accepted, but certain places there is disagreement. And because there is a disagreement between Vedavyas and Kapila Maharshi, we shouldn't think any of them are right or wrong. They are both right because they have accepted Vedam as authority. This is the way it works. That it is not a battle going on there. There is no battle among them. What they do is saying to us is that it is so open, Vedic philosophy is so open and gives you, for thoughtful people, enough to think. And according to your mind and your frame of mind, you will find acceptable certain things. Certain things may not be acceptable. But Vedantam today remains as a very acceptable concept in the philosophy because it answers even modern scientific questions. It can answer better. Vedantam can answer better than the modern science about many metaphysical things. Better explanations to that. And a more satisfying conclusions from the Vedantam. That's why Vedantam has taken over about others more than the Sankhyam or Nyayam or Yogam or Vaisheshikam or Mimamsa. Every one of them has its own special features. If you study, for example, if you study Jaiminiya Sutram, Jaimini wrote famous commentaries on Karmakandam. Karmakandam is the main topic. Jaimini insisted that from Vedam mainly what one has to follow is Karmakandam. That was Jaimini's interpretation of the Vedam. And accordingly, he encouraged, as a great rishi, he encouraged many of the kings who were present there to perform sacrifices. You can see the effect of that in the Bhagavatam. Yudhishthira Maharaj performing sacrifices. That's all Karmakandam, isn't it? And similarly, Rajasuyam. And even it exists to a very small degree even in the modern world. That still among the Brahmanas who are studying the Karmakandam seriously, performing sacrifices, but to a very small degree. So at no time one completely disappears and something else takes over. It's not like that. There's always an overlap between the different traditions. Similarly, Patanjali's Yoga Sutram has not completely disappeared. There are still people who are trying to follow it, but they know how difficult it is that to come to the standard what Patanjali is expecting that. And Patanjali was a very well-known personality who not only wrote this book, Yoga Sutram, at the same time, he is also an incarnation of Adishesha. Adishesha's incarnation is this Patanjali. The name itself is Adishesha's another name. So, no two people are separate. They're all together. You have to see them as a one unit. Vedavyas, Jaimini, Patanjali, Gautama Maharshi, similarly Kanadan, all of them are together. They're all rishis, powerful, great sages. So, coming to this, that here, what we are going to discuss this chapter now, like Krishna brought Sangha Yoga into Bhagavad Gita, isn't it? And where he has taken only certain conclusions of Sangyam into Bhagavad Gita. Similarly, in Bhagavatam also, in this chapter, when we study, you will see that Krishna has taken Sangyam, but not everything. Not everything what Kapila Maharshi has spoken. Only part of that, Krishna has taken. Only part of that is taken. And here, that in the Sankhyam, that Krishna begins, it's like this. Shri Bhagavan Vacham, Atade Sampravikshyami, Sankhyam Purvai Vinishchidam, Yad Vijnaya Paman Sadhyo, Jehua Vaigalpigam Brahmam. Atade Sampravikshyami, Krishna is saying to Uddhava that I am going to talk to you about this Sankhyam, he says. Sankhyam Purvai Vinishchidam. Purvai Vinishchidam. Purvai Vinishchidam means a yoga system which is Sankhya Yogam, which was spoken long time ago by Kapila Maharshi. By Kapila Maharshi. Sankhyam Purvai Vinishchidam. It was spoken long time ago. Much before Krishna's time, it was spoken. Who? Kapila Maharshi. And yad vijnaya puman sadyo jehya vaigalpiyam brahmam. By knowing this Sankhyam, like the last chapter, Krishna's talked about manonigraham, isn't it? Manojayam, controlling the mind, for which Bhikshu Gita was spoken. So this Sankhyam also can help a person to come out of that Brahmam. Brahmam means this problem of the dvandvam inside. Vaikalpikam Brahmam. In other words, this Veda Buddhi is main problem. Veda Buddhi comes from Dvandvam. This is good, this is bad, this is right, this is wrong, this is friend, this is enemy. This has to go from inside. We only make it grow more and more. That's what we do. We don't think about it enough when we do live in this world, isn't it? So that is a big problem in spiritual life. It will drive us down instead of elevating us. It will drag us down. That is what Krishna is saying here. That jahuad vaikalpikam brahmam. That yadityaya puman vaikalpikam brahmam sadhya jahyad. He says, if you have got understanding of this Sankhyam, Krishna is saying that due to this contradicting things or Veda Buddhi, because of Veda Buddhi, what happens? Brahmam comes. Brahma means kind of illusion comes to us. Is it not? That when we have Veda Buddhi, if you look into your own life, or I look into my own life, I can see this have coming all the time, Veda Buddhi. And I don't know about yourself, but when you think about it, that you become this, support this Veda Buddhi so much, where is the possibility of any spiritual realization? It's difficult, isn't it? Veda Buddhi creates that. And society encourages that. Society encourages that. This is the difficulty. That means it's a big battle to fight against. But Krishna is saying to us that this Sankhyam can help you to take away that Veda Buddhi from inside. You can see, when Vairagyam came to Avanti Brahmana, he escaped from Veda Buddhi, he says. Veda Buddhi went away from him. I lost that Veda Buddhi from me. He says, never I was thinking anymore about Veda Buddhi. And Krishna is also saying to Uddhava that Samadrik. Samadrik means you have no Veda Buddhi. Yeah? In Bhagavad Gita, remember, Krishna says, Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavi Hastini, Shuni Chaiva, Shobhageja, Pandita Samadarshina. Samadarshitam, equal vision. It won't come just like that because our Buddhi is wrong. That is the problem. Our Buddhi has got this misguided experience inside with Veda Buddhi. And then if I keep on reciting these words, it is not going to happen, would it? It won't happen on its own way. Krishna said that to Arjuna. Vidya Vinaya Sampanne, a Brahmana who has Vidya, who has knowledge, and Vinaya Sampanne. Vinaya Sampanne means who has the greatest humility. Vinaya Sampanne. That Brahmana, what does he say? Gavi Hastini, elephant and the cow. And Shuni, dog. Shobhageja, dog eater. Pandita, Samadarshina. A learned person, he will see all of them on the equal level. That means Veda Buddhi has gone. So Veda Buddhi creates us this way of looking at things high and lower. Looking at people, looking at objects, and looking at other living entities. Higher, lower, everything high, low, high, low. So that segregation has to go from inside, and that won't go very easily. So Krishna has spoken this to Uddhava, Krishna has spoken this to Arjuna. And here Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this Sankhyam can help you, which was spoken by Kavala Maharshi, to get rid of that Veda Buddhi. Get rid of that Veda Buddhi. It happened to Avanti Brahmana in one way, through Vairagyam it helped him to create that, to get rid of the Veda Buddhi, isn't it? When Vairagyam came to him, he opened his eyes and he started seeing things. That there is no friend, there is no enemy in this world. So Veda Buddhi has gone. Is it not? Once a friend and enemy has gone means Veda Buddhi has gone. So he realized that through Vairagyam. Now through Jnanam, Sankhyam, how it is possible to realize that, he says. So remember four ways, says he has spoken, Krishna has spoken. First through Vairagyam, now through Jnanam, that is the Sankhyam talking about. Then through through modes of nature. How modes of nature creates Veda Buddhi. Krishna explains that to us in the next chapter. In the next chapter, Krishna is going to talk to us how modes of nature creates Veda Buddhi. So if you transcend the three modes of nature, you can escape from the Veda Buddhi. Yes. Then last one, Krishna says there was another personality in my own lineage. He says, a great person, Pururavas, how he escaped from Vedabuddhi. His problem was he had excessive attachment to Urvashi. And that dragged him down. That was also Vedabuddhi, isn't it? That, so how he escaped, that was spoken in the fourth. So these four episodes, starting with Bhikshugita, Sankhyam, Trigunam, modes of nature, and finally Ailagidam. These four things, only for one purpose, to get out of this Vedabuddhi. Vedabuddhi is a dangerous thing. And Vedabuddhi comes from Dvandvam. So we are using different words. Krishna also uses different words. But in practical experience, what does it mean? It means only one thing. That able to see everyone on an equal level. Not to make choice between people. One is right friend, one is enemy. This must go from inside. Nobody is friend, nobody is enemy. To come to that, then there will be shanti inside. Because with friend and enemy, what happens is raga dvesham develops. Friend, with friend ragam, with enemy dvesham. So all these things must go. Krishna is saying to Uddhava that tandu sarvam paritejya sneham svajana bandushu mai avesya mana samyak samadrik. So now in the Bhagavadam, we are coming to that stage, samadrik. Samadrik is freedom from Vedabuddhi. Then after that, Krishna says to Uddhava, that's what he said, you go to Badrinath and walk over wherever you want to do, whatever you want to do it. Vijarasvagam, he says, walk freely without any ties to the world, attached to this world. So all things in this world comes from Atma. Atma is the source or Brahma. And everything finally dissolves into that. From Atma, creation has come, to Atma it goes back. And therefore Atma alone is real. Atma alone is real. Everything else is creation of the mind. This is the Sankhya's principle. Sankhya says to us that Atma alone is real. Everything has come from Atma, Prakriti, and Prakriti goes back to Purusha, finally. From Purusha it has come, it goes back to Purusha again. Therefore, Prakriti is a creation of the mind. This is where Sankhya's position is like that. Sankhya says that Purusha is real, Atma is real, and from Purusha came everything else in this world, whole creation. And eventually, they exist only in the mind, manakalpitam. World exists only in the mind. And when the mind gets destroyed, everything gets destroyed. Therefore, they have no reality. And finally, what remains is only Purusha or Atma. That is the Sankhya philosophy. So it's from that point Krishna is beginning this chapter. Yad vijñāya pumān sadyo jasya vaikalpikam brahmam. Vikalpam. Vikalpa means what? The thoughts that comes inside. So, now here, asid jñānamatho artha ekameva vikalpitam yada viveka nipuna adau kṛtayuge ayuge. Krishna is saying, ayuge adau kṛtayuge yada janaha viveka nipunaha bhavandi tadavi jnanam atho artha avikalpitam ekameva asid. He says that at the time of dissolution and at the beginning of creation, in the Kṛtayugam, Tridayugam, Dvapara-yugam, Kali, in the Kṛtayugam, people are much more, they have higher knowledge, isn't it? By the time it comes, Kali-yugam comes, we are more of a ignorance, more ignorance in us. In Satya-yugam, people have very higher level of knowledge, higher level of knowledge, higher level of knowledge. So, the world is two things, drikka drishyam, the seer and the seen, objects that is seen. So, at that time, in the Satya Yugam, people had no Veda Buddhi. That is the reason why it is spoken like that. That in Satyugam, people did not have Veda Buddhi like the way they have it today. He's saying here that therefore their realization of the truth was also very higher because they didn't have Veda Buddhi. The more Veda Buddhi we have, Veda Buddhi means this seeing, the way we look at world and seeing right and wrong, good and bad, happiness, distress, this kind of thing. This dvandvam didn't exist in the Satyugam. Satyugam didn't exist. Because people's consciousness was such that they were not affected by the dualities of this world. They had the freedom from the dualities. We are affected by the dualities, isn't it? So that is what Krishna said, sir, also in the Matras Prashastra Gaundaya, Shidoshna Sukha Dukkada. That is dvandvam. Shidam Ushnam Sukham Dukkham. Dvandvam. That did not exist as intense as it is today in the Satya Yuga. Krishna is saying that because they had that realization that Atma is real. Atma alone is real. If we have that, Atma alone is real, then this dvandvam will go away from inside. Tanmaya bhayarupena kevalam nirvikalpitam vang mano agojaram satyam dvidha samabhavat brihat. Kevalam nirvikalpitam satyam tad brihat vang mano gojaram yatha tada maya bhayarupena dvidha samabhavat. Sankhyam says that Brahman, which is the truth, that has form comes into two, in it expanded in two different ways, which is called Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti. This is from the Sankhya point of view. Krishna is using the Kabala Maharshi's exposition of the Sankhya and saying to us that Tan Maya Bhalarupena Kevalam Nirvikalpitam. The nature of Brahman is that it is one without a second. There is no two in Brahman. And there is no duality. Vedam is not there. Vedam, differences inside Brahman. It's one truth. And it is the truth. Satya Swarupam Veda Shunyam Advidiyam, it says in that verse. Nirvikalpitam. There is no vikalpam there, in there. Vikalpam means which breaks things. There is no such thoughts in the Brahman. Vang mano agojaram satyam dvidha samabhavat brihat. That truth is for the words or the mind cannot explain that. It's beyond than that, the truth. And that comes into two. Dvidha samabhavat brihat. It has come as two. We will understand this better when we go a little bit further. What Krishna is saying there. So, Brahman has broken up itself into two. Brahman generally is referred as knowledge. Brahman. Brahman, we say, isn't it? Brahman. What is Brahman? Brahman, as we say in English. Brahman is this. Brahman breaks up into two. Maya and Prakasham, or light. That, in other words, that knowledge has broken as Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti. It exists like that. So, Maya is that Prakriti. We use different words. You see, Prakriti is the word used in Sankhyam. In Vedantam, the word used is Maya. Vedavyasa Maharshi uses the word Maya. Kapila Maharshi uses the word Prakriti. That's all, the difference. Vastu is the same. Same thing. That is what is making it clearer later. Tayor ekadaro artha prakriti so bhayatmika jnanam tvanyatamo bhava purusha sophidiyade. Explaining what Maya and Purusha means. He says that one of them is Maya. Brahman has broken up into two, Purusha and Prakriti. So Prakriti, which is called Maya, that Maya has one nature, she has got this cause and effect in her. Maya has got cause and effect in her. Maya can be responsible for something, and it is very difficult to understand her, Maya. You see, Maya is very difficult to understand, isn't it? And this potency, because of her difficulty in understanding Maya, therefore it says here, Anyadama bhavaha jnanam cha saha purusha abhidiyade. Maya has become the drishyam, and purusha has become the drishtava. Drishta means the seer, one who sees, and the other one, what is seen. From this only drikka drishyam came. Seeing, the person who is seeing, and the object what is being seen. Drikka drishyam. So one vastu only before, beginning, Brahman. Brahman has come as purusha and prakriti now, or purusha and maya, in two different forms. And maya is the karyakarana surubini, they call her. Karyakarana surubini says, toyo ekadaro hyartha prakriti so ubhayatmiya. Ubhayatmiya means this duality has come in maya. So it is in maya this Veda buddhi. Maya creates that. Which one? This Veda buddhi in us. It's coming from maya, modes of nature, in other words. That is in the maya. From there comes, in all of us, the impact of that. That is why they say that everything in this world is under the modes of nature. We say that, isn't it? There's nothing outside the modes. Place where you live, the food what you eat, the way you do things, kartrutam, karmam, your karmam, your actions, and the food what you eat, and everything if you take, that is under maya. It's under maya. And because there is maya there, anything when you look at, there will be always this Veda buddhi. So escaping from dvandvam, or Veda buddhi means escaping from maya. Is it not? Escaping from maya. So various ways it is spoken, that is all it is. Basically it's referring to escaping from prakriti, or escaping from the three modes of material nature. So, Maya's nature, Krishna is saying here, she has got this karyakarana swarupam. Karyakarana swarupam means, it will create dvandvam inside you. This, you will say, saying this, that, why did this happen? You will always say, it should not have happened. Why did this happen? And if you try to find out, you don't know why it has happened. It has happened, that's all. When something happens in life, we always ask this question, why did that happen? Is it not? But then you don't get any answer to that question. So, karyam karanam. Some effect happens and there is a cause behind it. But you don't get to know what has caused this. And sometimes you also know, you do something, but something else happens than what you thought. Is it not? You have done something with some good intention, but the result was all bad, it came out from that. So this effect, karyam karanam swarupam, is maya. Suppose you have done something with some good intention. The result must come good, but doesn't happen always. The result happens to be bad. Equally, something happened in life and you try to find out the reason for that, you can't find out why it has happened. So either way, in the form of karyakarana swarupam, maya baffles us, isn't it? Maya puts us on the spot. Then what do? We wash our hands. We say, we don't know why it happened. We can't do anything about it. You can see this in this world, in our relationship with other people sometimes. Things go wrong. And you feel bad about it. Why did this happen? And you can't do anything about it. It just happened. Because this three modes of nature is present in me, in the other person, in everybody, in the same way. And that reacts in some way. And how she will react, it's very difficult to know. Impossible to say that, is it not? And after it happened, if you, no matter how much you try to analyze it, why it has happened, I could have avoided this. No, you can't. It happened. And you can't really pinpoint and say, what did I do wrong? If people ask this question, you're not doing anything wrong. That is maya. Maya has this capacity to make you feel guilty like that, that you have done something wrong, that's why it has happened. That's also Maya. Maya is so clever in that way, she completely baffles us in the form of karyam karanam, karya karana swarupam. So, whatever it may be, the cause, doesn't matter. Then as far as creation is concerned, creation is concerned, now Sankhyam says it has created. World has been created. Vedantam says world has not been created. These are differences between Sankhyam and Vedantam. I'm saying like that. And Vedantam says that the creation has not happened and there is no creator behind this. There's no creator behind this. This is how Vedantam looks at it. This is the Vedantam Siddhantam. The Siddhantam of Vedantam is world has not been created and there is no creator behind it. There's no creator behind it. Because world has been created and there is a creator behind it who has been creating it, all these things cannot be recognized in Vedantam. Vedantam won't accept these things. Similarly, there is another concept, that is, you will remain as jiva forever. You will remain as a jiva forever. That is also not acceptable in the Vedantam. We'll come to this, why it is like that, the different positions, different philosophical thoughts. Because their position is that, if you say that jiva is permanent, then what this liberation means? That is Vedantam's question. Those who say that jiva, if you are always going to be remain as jiva, then where is liberation then? Who is getting liberated then? Nobody is getting liberated. So sometimes in Veda, that is why this Dvaitam Advaitam concepts has come from that. So what they are saying is that always getting very close to Ishvara, close to Ishvara, or remaining very close to Ishvara, or but never becoming Ishvara, never becoming Ishvara. That means that if you take that position, that means once you accept that, you have broken away from Him, from Ishvara, then it comes to this point that at any moment you can break up, any moment you can go and join. It comes like that. It's not only once it can. If you say that yes, you have already broken up from Him, and if you say that you are going back to Him again, but because you have broken up once, where's the guarantee it won't, you will break up again? From Vedantam's question in these things. So, which means that if you are going back and if you are breaking up again, that means what? That means material existence never comes to an end. Sometimes you are in material existence, sometimes you are in spiritual existence, and sometimes you are back into material existence again. That may happen. That is why Vedantam don't accept this, that you have broken up from the truth, from the truth. So if it is like that, that if I am going to fall down again, then what's the point in working so hard to get out of this? This is Vedanti's question. See, they have their view of looking at things. What Vedantam is asking us, why do I have to struggle so hard? Because if you say to me that I have fallen from there, initially I was not, and now I am becoming jiva, and if you say I am going to remain as a jiva for the rest of my life, not only in this life, forever, if I am going to always be like a jiva, then that means, one, that there is no such thing called liberation then. You are a jiva always, isn't it? Under all circumstances, you are a jiva. Or, secondly, if you say that you get liberated and you go back to the truth, to join back to the spiritual world, and then if you are going to break up again from there, because you have broken up once, where is the guarantee that you won't break up again? That question will come. So, because of all this, and if you are going to fall back again, then you will see, think again, you have to think twice, is this worth all spiritual life? You may ask that question, isn't it? Logic is there in everything. It's not that everything illogical. All these questions will come into our mind. Most of the people don't ask any question. They keep to themselves. And they think that, this is Prabhupada said this, that's it, finished. We don't ask any more questions. This is our approach, isn't it? Or somebody has said this, don't ask any question, they'll say. Why are you asking questions? Prabhu, you should not ask any questions. Why you have got doubts? You don't accept my authority, they say. No, it's not like that. You have to accept it. You don't have to accept anybody's authority. You have to accept, it has to be a little bit logical also. And whatever convinces you, take that. That is the way philosophy works. Philosophy doesn't work. Otherwise, there will be only one philosophy in the world. There won't be so many philosophies, isn't it? If everybody is accepting authority only, there's only one authority and one philosophy. You can't have any choice there. So anyway, the question here is now that if you think that you are broken away from Krishna already, and you are a jiva now, and you are going to go back one day, where is the guarantee that you won't fall back again? And if it is like that, why should I work so hard now for realizing the truth? This is one question from the Vedanta side. Therefore, that is from this only Dvaitam came. Dvaitam came from this. From Advaitam, Vishishtadvaitam, Dvaitam. That Dvaitavadam came from this. Dvaitam means, does not mean only that Jiva and Ishvara exist separately. That's not the only thing about the Dvaitam. Dvaitam means Jiva and Ishvara at the moment in time. At this moment in time, that means when you are under material existence, you exist. That is Dvaitam. That means as Jiva and Ishvara, now there is some problems. As Jiva and Ishvara, you exist. Jiva and Ishvara, you exist. At the right this moment in time, in material existence. That is Dvaita concept. And that is acceptable to Vedantam also. Vedantam says that is correct. At this moment in time, Jiva and Ishvara exist separately. And that is because of that. Because why is it like that? Because of the material existence. Presence of the mind, modes of nature, vasana, everything there. Therefore, Jiva and Ishvara, we exist in this way. Exist in this way. But Dvaiti says that Jiva will remain as a Jiva forever. That is the Dvaiti's position. Jiva will remain as a Jiva forever. And that is where there is some disagreement. For example, we will see this generally Vaishnavas. Vaishnava normally refers to Ramanuja's Vaishnavas. They are the Vaishnavas when we spoken in a big way, because you can see Ramanuja is the first personality who brought this Vaishnava concept in there. But Vaishnavas are not purely Dvaitis. They are not purely Dvaitis. Their philosophy is this Vishishtadvaitam. Vishishtadvaitam is their philosophy. Some people will say that they are Dvaitis, but they are not Dvaitis. Vaishnavas, all Vaishnavas are, generally when we say Vaishnavas, it is Ramanujacharya's philosophical school. That is Vaishnavas. But Vaishnavas are not always Dvaitis. What happens is that because Madhvacharya's Dvaitam is different from Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaitam. There's a big difference between Ramanujacharya's Vishishtadvaitam and Madhvacharya's Dvaitam. In Madhvacharya's Dvaitam, it is that Jiva is always absorbed in worshipping God or Ishvara or Krishna, whichever way. So, and that is the final state, continuously in the worshipping stage, remaining always worshipping in that state. That means Jiva will always remain as Jiva and constantly absorbed in the service of Ishvara, Ishvara's service. So in that state, he experiences that divine experience in the service. He is experiencing that. And therefore, Madhvacharya's position is like that. That is his final state of liberation. In the liberated state, he is always absorbed in the service of Ishvara and he remains in that state. Even though it is like that, this is always in agreement with Vedantam. It's not different from the Vedantam. But they will not agree with one thing, that they will never agree that at no point in time jiva will lose its jivahood, jiva nature. That they won't agree. They're saying jiva will always remain as jiva. Jiva will always. And the main words they use to support that is that they use the same argument like the Bhagavad Gita, that same major 10 Upanishads and Brahma Sutra. So, you know, Shankaracharya wrote these commentaries on these three first. Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutra and Dashopanishad. Dashopanishad is these 10. Isham, Kenam, Katham, Prasna, Munda, Mandukya, Taittiri, Brahadaranyam, Chandokyam, Aitareyam. So these 10 Upanishads he picked and wrote this commentary to establish Advaitam. Same 10 Upanishads, Bhagavad Gita and Brahma, there are only 108 Upanishads. But Acharya Swami picked up this first 10 and wrote his famous commentaries on them. Then Ramanujacharya also wrote the same commentaries on these 10 Upanishads to establish Vishishtadvaitam. And commentary on Brahma Sutra, which is called Sri Bhashyam. And similarly, commentary on Bhagavad Gita also. So, Madhvacharya also did the same thing. Took the same 10. You have to remember, both Ramanujacharya and Madhvacharya, they were all brought up in the Shankaracharya's traditions. They both were brought up. But somewhere, about why this separation came, was somewhere, certain things they had difficulty in accepting in the Advaitam. So therefore they moved away in these two different ways. Madhvacharya's parents were strong Advaitis. Similarly, Ramanuja also, if you look back, his education, everything were under Advaitis. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu were under Advaitis. He took his Brahmachari training, everything, initiation, even sannyas initiation is from the Advaiti tradition. So, but somewhere in their philosophical way, they have little disagreement. That is how these different schools of thought has come. And they don't have that enmity or anything each other. What it is, because they are so pure in their consciousness, that on a very higher level, they have disagreements on certain things. So here also, in this verse of the Bhagavad Gita, which one? Mamai vamsho jiva loke. Jiva Bodha Sanatana. That Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Karshari. I think it is in the 13th chapter, isn't it? Yeah. That verse is the verse they use, who Dvaitis, to prove that Jiva and Ishvara is always separate. But that is not acceptable to Vedantists. Advaitis or the Vishishta Advaitis also don't agree with that. Way Madhvacharya has explained that verse. Which one? This one. Mamayvamsho Jiva Loke. Where's the difference is the word Jiva Bhutam. Jiva Bhutam means those who have studied Sanskrit, they'll know this easier. Jiva Bhutam means it's not that you are a Jiva, but actually Jiva Bhutam. That means you have become Jiva. Jiva Buddha means, like you say, you become Brahma, that means it's called Brahma Buddha. Similarly, you have become Jiva and that's called Jiva Buddha. So it is a grammatical thing, but the way they interpret it in that way. So, so Krishna says there in that word, Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Karshadi, mind, the sixth sense, and the five senses. And the mind is the sixth one, isn't it? Mind and the six senses. All these six together is called Upadhi. And through Upadhi, the Jiva tries to enjoy the senses, sense objects. So, that is how about Jiva in Bhagavad Gita spoken. About Jiva. Manashashtani Indriyani Prakritistani Karshadi. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Manashashtani Indriyani Pravidisthani Karshadi. What it says here is, what they are saying here from the Dvaita school of thought, it says here that Jiva, which is a living force, is eternal, they are saying. Because in the word it says, Mamayvamsho Jiva Loki Jiva Bhuda Sanatana. That Jiva is eternal, they are saying. And that's how they take it. But Jiva Bhuta means that Alma which has become Jiva. Which has become Jiva. If you say it has become Jiva means prior to this it was not Jiva. Isn't it? This is the Vedantam's way. Whichever way you like, you can accept it, which according to your mind, which convinces you, take it that way. But what it is saying is that Vedanta position is like this, that has become Jiva, but originally it was not Jiva. Originally it was not Jiva. So, if it was not Jiva before, Alpa's nature is that it cannot become Jiva. Because Alpa cannot change. It is Sat, isn't it? It is Sat, it's not Asat. Asat can change. Because one of the qualities or attributes of the Sat is, it cannot change. So they are asking the question as, so due to the, so that Tattvam, which has become Jiva, that Tattvam is called Sanatana, according to Advaitam, according to Vedantam. Vedantam says, that Tattvam which now appears to be as Jiva is Sanatanam. Not what has become now is Sanatanam. The Tattvam which is Alma, which is now transformed into Jiva, so that Tattvam which has now you appear experiencing as Jiva, Jiva Bhudam, which has become Jiva, that Tattvam is Sanatanam, not the Jiva is Sanatanam. This is the Vedantam, Vedanti position. So, because it has become Jiva due to its contact with Upadhi, isn't it? Upadhi Sambandham, which means mind, intelligence, and ego and all those things. Because of that, it has become Upadhi Sambandham. Therefore, that Tattvam has become Jiva. Jiva. But that Tattvam is Sanatanam, not Jiva is Sanatanam. That's where the difficulty is, isn't it? And that Tattvam is Krishna Samsham. Mamayuvamsham, Krishna Samsham, it says. It's Krishna Samsham. So, it is sometimes difficult with that verse to establish Dvaitam. To establish Dvaitam. So, these differences are there in Sankhyam and Vedantam. For example, that in Sankhyam, everything comes from Pradhanam. Pradhanam they call it. You will see in the third canto, when you read, you will see there. And from Pradhanam comes creation. That's how Sankhyam looks at it. And Vedantam says, there is no creator for this. Because this is a big difference between Sankhyam and Vedantam. Sankhyam says that from Pradhanam, we'll see what Pradhanam is, we'll explain later. Pradhanam comes creation. This is Sankhya philosophy. Vedantam says there is no creation and there is no creator. This is Vedantam. Vedantam is very close to Alma always. It always will push the position of Alma as the only truth. It will never accept any other thing. So, therefore, this disagreement between Sankhyam and Vedantam has come. I'm saying all these things. You may ask, what has it got to do with my Krishna consciousness? The only thing I can say is this, that it is in the Bhagavadam and it will give you some insight into look at things in a different way rather than simply studying the book verse by verse. Because these are important to know that why Krishna has brought Sankhyam and how far Krishna accepts Sankhyam. For us, what matters is what Krishna says, isn't it? That's what matters to us. Because we are concerned about Srimad Bhagavatam. But in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna has brought Sankhyam there. So we should also know that why Sankhyam, to what extent Sankhyam is acceptable in the Bhagavatam. That also we should know. Otherwise, we will say that this is all Sankhya. No, Sankhya is a little different than what we are accepting here in the Bhagavatam. There's a little difference there. Because Vedavyasa Maharshi, when he wrote Vedantam, Vedantic, which is called as Uttara Mimamsa, that's the word. Purva Mimamsa, Uttara Mimamsa. Purva Mimamsa is Jaimini, Uttara Mimamsa is Vedavyasa. So Uttara Mimamsa came, these three schools of thought of Advaitam, Ishishtadvaitam and Dvaitam, is it not? So Advaitam accepts Sankhyam to a large extent, but there is disagreements also. So suppose you accept that Pradhanam is creating this world according to the Sankhyam. Pradhanam is Jadam. Pradhanam is Jadam. Because Pradhanam doesn't have the power to create. Pradhanam doesn't have the power to create. For example, if you say Mother Earth has created all these things in the earthly planet. If you say like that, see all the trees, the plants, the creepers, and the animals, and the human species, whoever is living on this earth. If you say the earth has created all these things, because we are all living on the earth, Vedantam don't accept it. Pradhanam, the way Sankhyam puts it is that Pradhanam created all these things. Like, suppose if you say Mother Earth has created all these things, that's not acceptable for Vedantam. Similarly, they don't accept Pradhanam has created all these things. Vedantam's difficulty is like this. Vedantam says to us, Vedavyasa Maharshi, in other words, says like this. It says like this, that because they're all present in the earth, you are saying that they were all created by the earth. And that is not acceptable because earth has no power to create. Earth has no power to create. Earth is also Jadam, like Pradhanam. It is Jadam, dead matter. And some living force has joined earth and creation has happened. Or in other words, Chaitanyam, living force, has joined the earth and from that creation has happened. Creation has happened. Or due to the presence of the living force only, creation happens. For example, suppose here there is a seed lying in the earth and it germinates and it sprouts and a plant comes out from that seed. Why did that happen? The reason Vedantam says it's not due to Mother Earth, it's not due to the water or the fire or the sun it has happened. It is because the living force has entered into that seed and it gave birth. It gave birth. This is Vedantic's position. Anything that has happened here, this is big topic in the Vedantam, this issue. What they are saying is that Mother Earth has no power to create. If something has come up here, a plant has come out, none of them had the capacity to create. Only when the living force entered into that seed, and then when all other things favorable came, that living force came out in the form, in a particular form. This is the Vedantam says. The seed has, from that seed germination happened and sprouted and the plant came out and the birth happened in the same way it comes out. Now, so the cause of the birth is the Chaitanyam or the living force. That is the cause behind that. Not the ground or the water or the sunshine. None of them are the cause for the birth. But if there is only earth and the water and the sunshine, if these three things are not there, it may or may not take birth. It may or may not take birth. But that is very rare. They are favorable conditions for taking birth. But only when they are present there. But if Jiva is not there, Chaitanyam is not there, it will not happen. This is, Vedantam is very firm on this principle. They won't make any compromise on this. What they're saying here is that when Jiva decided to take birth, a Jiva means a living force, has come and decided to accept a form, those things like earth, water, sunshine, they all helped for the Jiva to come out and accept a form. And therefore, that is what is acceptable to Vedantam. Suppose there is no life in that seed. Imagine that. Then no matter, let it be anything. You do everything what you can do. Put all the best fertilizer, manure, plow the land very well, add sufficient water, and there is plenty of sunshine, there will be no life. It won't take birth. This is the Vedavyasa Maharshi's conclusion. Vedavyasa Maharshi's conclusion, it is. So, similarly, it is based on this. When only a living force comes and enters into the womb of a mother, that is what causes the birth of a child. Birth of a child, not pradhanam. Sankhyam says pradhanam, but Vedantam says only when another living entity, that to a living force, enters into the womb of a mother, only then a child will take birth. Child will take birth. And that living force is what we call it as Jiva, that living force. And it takes senses, mind, intelligence, all other things, it takes along with that. And along with that, due to it acquires its me and mine, that is the ahankaram also joins that. And that all these things combined together is what is called ajnanam or avidya. And it becomes jiva. It becomes jiva. That means Atma is present. Atma is soul or spirit or consciousness. When that consciousness accepts these senses, mind, intelligence, and the ahankaram, false ego, it joins together and it becomes a jiva. But Atma must be there. Chaitanya must be there. So, when that jiva, which is nothing but Chaitanyam, living force, it is due to its presence that the body is created inside the womb of the mother. Inside the womb of the mother, the body grows due to the presence of the Chaitanyam or the living force. Otherwise, it cannot create. And sometimes you can see here, a mother sometimes does not have children, very much desiring to have children, but doesn't have children. And they tried so many ways to have children, various ways they have tried to have children. And sometimes they make special offerings and various processes you follow in this world, isn't it? Science through science or through religion or whatever it is. Vedantam says to us, no, you can do anything you like, but ultimately a jiva has to come there, to the womb. If the jiva doesn't come, no matter what research you do, whatever methods you follow, process you follow, it will not happen. If a jiva doesn't come to the womb of the mother. And they say here, only then a body will be created in the womb. Only body will be created. The reason why a living force, Chaitanyam, doesn't come to the mother's womb is that suppose a mother has desire to have the children, but if it has not happened, from the Vedantam point of view, this will all come in the Brahma Sutram discussions, they'll talk about all these things, that mother in her previous life had no connection with another life in terms of a mother-child form. Mother-child form. That means, in his previous life, that mother-putra-bhava, as a mother and a child, suppose you had no relationship with another living entity. That is the reason that in this life, that a child does not take birth from that womb. For this reason. This is the reasons that they are explaining. This is not saying right or wrong, but Vedantam's position on this is this, that no matter what you do, if there is no living force coming into mother's womb, birth cannot happen. Birth cannot happen. This is the strong position on the Vedanta. So, it is because of that that it does not happen. Some cases, some people... So therefore, this situation, what Shastram is saying is that due to previous life, if anybody has, if a mother had a relationship with somebody else as mother-putra-bhava, or mother-son, or mother-daughter, in that way, if it had a relationship with another jiva, only then in this life she will have a child who will come to her womb as a child to take shelter and take birth from her. That means that vasana must have happened in the previous life with some other jiva. Now we are in this body. Same thing with father-son also, in the same way. That, or father-daughter, whatever it is. In previous life, some vasana must have developed in such a way with another jiva in a particular body. We didn't know what our bodies were, who we were, we don't know. But somewhere, madhra-putra-bhavam or pitra-putra-bhavam, in either way, a relationship must have existed. Only in that case, when this in this body, when the mother wants to have the child, that jiva will come running down to this womb to take the shelter here. So, this relationship is very important as far as Vedantam is concerned. Vedantam says, nothing happens here without the living force. Living force is the cause behind everything. That's the way it is there. So, this whole world, the whole creation sustains on that living force, Atma, Krishna's presence here. That is what it is talking about. And this is the most fundamental argument in Vedantam. This approach. This is the Vedantam's approach. Vedavyasa Maharshi and Vedantam stick to this understanding. And this doesn't change whether it is Advaitam, Dvaitam or Vishishtadvaitam. This doesn't change. This remains the same. And nobody can easily deny that also. We have to know the difference between these two Shastram, which one? Sankhyam and Vedantam. So, Vedantam says, if in the creation, even if a grass is moving, even if a grass moves, or if a leaf drops from the plant, a tree, a big tree, it cannot happen without Krishna's presence there, without Atma's presence. If a leaf is dropping down from the tree, Vedantam says, there is presence of Chaitanyam there, otherwise it cannot happen. And if similarly, if there is no Chaitanyam, even a leaf cannot move, or a grass cannot even move without the presence of Chaitanyam there. So strong about the living force, it is spoken. So, that is called Brahma Sanidhyam or Chaitanya Sanidhyam, Brahma Sanidhyam it is called. So, without Brahma Sanidhyam, nothing happens here in this creation. This is the Vedantic Siddhantam. So, therefore, if you say, I have done this, he has done that, somebody else has done that, or Brahma has done that, or Indra has done that, you can say anything you like. But what you have to remember is this, in Brahma, in Indra, in Chandra, and in him, and in me, this Brahma Chaitanyam is there. Otherwise it cannot happen. Brahmam is Brahma Chaitanya means this living force. Is there in the Brahma, is there in the Indra. You can call Brahma did this or Chandra did this or Indra did this, whatever one you can say. But Vedavyasa Maharshi's point is, you can say whatever you like, but in that Brahma and in that Indra, and in him whom you say you have done, he has done it or she has done it, and in you who is doing it, the vastu, what is inside, is the same one thing, the Chaitanyam, the living force, Atma, Brahman is there. This is the Vedantic Siddhantam, Vedanta Siddhantam. While saying, we will say different things. Oh, Brahma did this, or Shiva did that, or somebody else, Indra did this. So many things we may say. You can say whatever you want, but in Brahma, in Shiva, and in all other living entities, and in you, and in everyone, vastu is one. This is the Vedantic position. They give the example that gold is the central material, and you create all kinds of various jewelry, isn't it? In the Bhagavatam, Sridhara Swami quotes that verse. He gives this example that vastu is one, gold. From gold you make chain, and then the what is that? Bangles, earrings, anklets, belts, and so many things you can make from the gold. When you look at them, you can call them different names, whatever you like. But vastu is one, gold, is it not? Gold is in different forms, it exists there. But when you call that particular object, you will call in a earring or whatever, or the rings in the fingers, whatever it is, you call them by different names. But in its subtle form, these forms don't exist, any of them. What exists is only gold. What exists is only gold. Similarly, Sridhara Swami says here, then vastu is only one. Which one? Gold. Similarly here, only Krishna is existing. Nothing else is existing. Instead of saying Krishna, he says only Narasimha Murthy existing here. That's how he puts it in the Shruti Gita commentary. If you read, you will see a verse there. I think I have that verse. He says, so he will mention that in the 87th chapter of the 10th canto, that there is only gold here which is present in the form of different ornaments, isn't it? Jewelry. Whether it is ring or whether it is a chain or whatever it may be, he says. But in reality, he says there that it may be different, but what's present here, he says, there is only Narasimha Murthy, he says. There's only Narasimha Murthy who is present here. Nobody else, he says. All these things, what I am seeing here, is also Narasimha Murthy's another manifestation, says Sridhara Swami. Sridhara Swami says here, like that. And it's at the end of that. Sa idam uttidam sadidi chennanu darkahadam vibhijaradi kvacha kvacha mrusha nanatho bhayayuk vyavahrdaye vikalpam ishitondha paramparaya brahmayadi bharati ida uruvritti virukta jadan. This is the 36th verse in the 87th chapter. 10, 87, 36. This verse. It is in connection with that. The original verse in the Shruti Gita is this. Sadam idam uttidam sadidi jayananu tarkahatam
വ്യഭിചരതി ക്വച ക്വച മൃഷ ന തഥോ ഭയയുക് വ്യവഹൃതയേ വികൽപ ഇഷിതോ അന്ധപരമ്പരയ ഭ്രമയതി ഭാരതി ത ഒരു വൃത്തിഭിരുക്ത ജഠാൻ ഇസൈസ്. In there, he, Sridharacharya Swamiji mentions this, that's the way he mentions about that. So, again, their conclusion is, when you look at it very critically, you say that there is only gold exist. When you look at it very critically. Similarly, when you look at this world very critically, he is saying here, except Brahman, nothing exists. And then Brahman is, for Sridharacharya, it is Narasimhamurti. He says here. So, because this Siddhantam is very strong and accepted by the many learned people, therefore Vedantam has a very higher acceptance among the intellectual class. They, for example, even among the Western philosophers, they find Vedantam makes more convincing their mind. It satisfies their curiosity. Vedantam gives more satisfactory answer to them than compared to any other philosophy from this one. And nobody has actually spoken against it very strongly. So, Sankhyam says, Pradhanam is the cause of the birth of the creation. But Vedantam, the difference is that you may have anything, Chaitanyam is more important. Unless the Chaitanyam or the living force comes, creation cannot happen. This is Vedanta's position. Vedanta Siddhantam, it's called. Whether it is a human birth, whether it's the birth of the plant, or any form of birth, any creation happens, there you have to accept that a living force has come and entered there. And therefore, creation happened. For example, why creation has happened, if you ask that question? The only answer is that for the sake of jivas upabhogam, that means for the jivas satisfaction, jivas to enjoy in some way. But that is why when we say, like we people pray to God, we have desires, since jiva has desires. When it has desires, it prays for satisfying the desires. He is willing to pray. So he prays to the God, I want so many desires. I have sickness, I pray for recovery. I have so many other desires. I ask for help from Krishna to fulfill my desires. In this way, I keep praying for various things. And finally, I pray for liberation also. Isn't it? So, or those who want children, they will pray for children and things like that. So basically, this praying is there in everyone, and to fulfill that desires, there has to have a higher power. That we have to accept that there is a higher power. Otherwise, we won't be praying, isn't it? Suppose there is nobody who is going to give you any help, then whom to you are praying to then? What happens to all the prayers then, isn't it? So who gives that? Who is fulfilling all the desires? It cannot be Pradhanam, because Pradhanam is Jadam. Only Chaitanyam or living force can fulfill the desires. Only living force can be, because nobody will pray to Pradhanam, oh Pradhanam, I want all these things, will you help me? No. You will pray only to Chaitanyam, isn't it? You can't pray to Jadam, dead matter. You can't pray to Jadam. So therefore, all prayers are addressed to Chaitanyam, to the living force. So Purusha, in other words, Purusha. And while praying, we can only put our faith in Chaitanyam, in living force. So in that situation, when Sankhyam says from Pradhanam creation has happened, how can it be accepted? This is Vedantam's disagreement with Sankhyam. I'm saying that because in this chapter, that's the most important topic. That when they say Pradhanam is the cause of creation, that cannot be accepted. Because from this viewpoint, you can see that to Pradhanam is not capable of creation because Chaitanyam is necessary for creation. First position of the Vedantam. Chaitanyam is necessary for creation. Otherwise it cannot happen. Whether it is human body or whether anything happens in the creation, Chaitanyam is behind it. Living force is behind it. Otherwise it cannot happen. Even if it is a small thing like a leaf falling from a tree or the movement of a blade of grass, it has to have Chaitanyam there. If Chaitanyam is not present, it cannot happen. This is the Vedanta position. In the Sankhyam they are saying to us that the Pradhanam is the cause of creation. Vedantam doesn't accept that. So, therefore, Sankhyam is criticized heavily in Vedantam because of this. Because of this disagreement. So Vedantam or Sankhyam, in many other ways, they have a lot of things in agreement also. Only thing is, in the beginning there is some agreement, but later on there is also disagreements in many things. After a while, Sankhyam goes in a little roundabout way in things like that. Kapila Maharshi, who propagated Sankhyam, and he is the preceptor of the Sankhya philosophy, Kapila Maharshi. And Vedavyasa Maharshi is Vedantam's the personality from whom Vedantam has come. Both of them accept Vedam as authority. Vedam as the authority. They have not spoken anything what is not in the Vedam. And they have shown authority from the Vedam as a proof for their philosophical position. They have given the proof also from the Vedam as a proof for their philosophical arguments. Yeah? Veda Pramanam. Pramanam they have shown from the Vedam. But the thing is, although both of them accept Vedam as the authority, their purport or their commentary has gone in two different ways. Now you can see what Krishna says in the Bhagavatam. Nobody understands Vedam. Remember, he said that. Nobody understands Vedam. Vedam is too complex. Nobody understands Vedam. That is why he is saying here, that is why this difference is both acceptable. If Kapila Maharshi says he understands Vedam, yes, he understands Vedam. To what extent? That's the question. Vedavyasa Maharshi also, he understands Vedam. But to what extent? That is always the question, isn't it? So that is why Krishna says, the only person who understands Vedam is me. In the Bhagavatam he says that, isn't it? In the previous chapter. It's an amazing thing what Krishna is saying there. The only person who understands Vedam is me, he says. Because everyone, according to their modes of nature, and according to their purity inside, they will come out with different conclusions from the same Vedam. That is why here, Kapila Maharshi is producing the authority of the Vedam and Vedavyasa Maharshi is also producing the authority of the Vedam. And they are both presenting to us their own schools of thought to us. Similarly, you can see where other differences come. All other religious folks also, when they come to Vedantam in the present situation, they find it very difficult to break through. From Vedantam. Vedantam is too powerful to argue against. Similarly, Sankhyam also, for example, Varnashrama Dharmam, Varnam and Ashramam, Varnam, Brahmajari, Grastha, Vanaprastha, Sanyasam, Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, all those things Sankhyam does not accept. Sankhyam does not take it very seriously. Similarly, Saguna Upasana. Saguna Upasana means this worship of the form, in different forms. Those worship and all that, Sankhya has not taken very seriously. But Sankhya also has got two different roots. And you will see, they call it as Vaidika Sankhyam or Avaidika Sankhyam. Sankhyam which has come from the Vedam and Sankhyam which is outside Vedam. And that is why there is another Rishi who has propounded that also. That is why we have got Sankhya Karika and Sankhya Sutram, two books. And in the Bhagavadam and in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has only accepted that Sankhyam which has come from the Vedam, Vaidika Sankhyam. That's all Krishna has accepted. Krishna has not accepted the Avaidika Sankhyam. Avaidika Sankhyam Krishna has not accepted. So, therefore, Avaidika Sankhyam rejects many things. Varnashrama Dharmam and similarly this Yajnam, Homam, Yagam and things like that. Upasadhana, Upasana and things like that. Sankhyam is saying that only knowledge is necessary of Prakriti and Purusha. They call it as Prakriti Purusha in this way. That is sufficient. And if you have proper realization of Prakriti and Purusha, that is sufficient. This is position of the Sankhyam. So, Prakriti Purusha Vivegam is called Sankhyam. Prakriti Purusha Vivegam. And in the Bhagavad Gita also you can see that chapter, Prakriti Purusha Vivega Yogam, isn't it? And through Prakriti Purusha Vivegam alone, you can get liberation. This is the Sankhya Siddhantam. Vedantam doesn't accept that. So, if you very critically study, review Sankhyam, you will see that many things are not acceptable. But certain things what Sankhyam says is acceptable. There is a number of things they go through with that. We won't worry about all that. It's a lot for us. So, so many things in the Sankhyam are not acceptable. Many things are acceptable. If you look into the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, which we have gone through before, there is a verse there. In the 15th chapter, sixteen.
17, 18, and 19.
Four verses.
16, 17, 18, and 19.
Those four verses. We'll look at it after a few minutes.
Cheto darpanamarjanam bhavamaha davagni nirvavanam ശ്രേയക്കൈതവചന്ദ്രികാ വിതരണം വിദ്യാവധൂ ജീവനം ആനന്ദാംബുദിവർദ്ധനം പ്രതിപദ പൂർണാമൃതാസ്വാദനം സർവാത്മാസ്വപനം പരം വിജയതേ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ സങ്കീർത്തനം നാമനാമകാരി ബഹുധാ നിജ സർവശക്തി തത്രാർപ്പിതാ നിമിതാ സ്മരണേന കാല ഏതാദൃശീ തവ കൃപാ ഭഗവൻ മമാപി ദുർദൈവമീദൃശമിഹാജനിനാനുരാഗാഃ ജനം ന സുന്ദരീം കവിതാം വാ ജഗദീശ കാമയേ മമ ജന്മനി ജന്മനീശ്വരി ഭവദാദ് ഭക്തിരഹൈതുകി ത്വയി ഐ നന്ദതനൂജ കിങ്കരം പതിതാമാംഷമേ ഭവാംബുദം കൃപയാ തവ പാദപങ്കജ സ്ഥിതധൂളി സദൃശം വിചിന്തയ നയനം ഗളദശ്രുധാരയ vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulakair nichidam kadavabho tavannama grahane bhavishyati idaidam nimeshena chakshusha pravishayidam shunyayidam jagal sarvam govinda virahe name ashleshyava padaradam pinashtumam adarshanam marmahadam karyotuva yadhatatava vidadhatulam vado matprananathastuna evana para.
We'll now go back to Bhagavatam. Let's look at it. So these three verses Krishna is talking about in the 15th chapter, which we have started discussing, isn't it? Started discussing. Krishna is saying here that dua imau purusho loke, that verse. Dua imau purusho loke charam aksharam eva cha charam sarvani bhudhani kudastvam aksharam uchyate. Kudastva aksharam uchyate. This is then uttama purushasthanyam paramalpedi udahrida yo loka trayam avishya vivarti avyayam ishvara. Avyayam Ishvara. Then, yasmal kharam atitoham aksharad abhichottama adosmi loke vedecha pratida purushottama yomam evam asammodho janadi purushottamam sa sarvavid bhajati mam sarvabhavena bharata. So, those four verses, Krishna says there is two purushas, isn't it? Now you can see there is difference from the Sankhyam here. See how Krishna has not accepted Sankhyam here. Here he is saying to us that there is Kshara-purusha and there is Akshara-purusha, isn't it? What is Kshara-purusha? According to Krishna, Kshara-purusha is that all this world that is created here and millions of things in this created world, and this whole thing is called Kshara-purusha. This is Kshara-purusha, isn't it? Because why? It gets destroyed. That is why it's called Kshara-purusha. It's called Kshara-purusha. Why? Because it gets destroyed. Kshara means to get destroyed. So whole creation, Krishna is saying, is Kshara-purusha. Is Kshara-purusha. And in the 7th chapter, Krishna said that this Kshara-purusha is dependent on what? Jiva. Remember that? If you look into the 7th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse there which mentions there that apareyam idasvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva-bhudam mahabaho yayedam daryade jagat. Yayedam daryade jagat. Jiva-bhudam apareyam idasvanyam prakritim vidhime param jiva-bhudam mahabaho yayedam dharide jagat. Para-prakriti, Krishna is saying. Para-prakriti is the one which sustains this jagat. Sustains this jagat. So, two purushas, Kshara-purusha and Akshara-purusha, he has spoken, and he also mentions there that jiva-bhudam, jiva is the one which sustains this whole thing. Jiva-bhudam mahabhav. You have to connect these two chapters, 15th chapter and the 7th chapter. They are very closely connected. In this chapter, he is saying, because otherwise conflict will come. We should not get conflict when we study in Shastram. So, dvavumai purushav loke, he said, mentions there, that charam aksharam eva cha, charam sarvani bhutani kudastam aksharam uchyade. Charam sarvani bhutani kudastam aksharam uchyade. And here, he mentions there, that Kshara-purusha is this creation, is the Kshara-purusha. And Akshara-purusha is that living force
which sustains this jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharyate jagat.
Yedam dharyate jagat.
And he also mentions there for this Kshara Purusha and the Akshara Purusha. Now jiva comes here, isn't it? Akshara Purusha is that Andaryami inside, Akshara Purusha, whom you realize that present in everyone. When that realization comes, that presence of Akshara Purusha in everyone, he is one. And that is time you realize it as Purushottama. That is why it's called Purushottama Yoga, isn't it? When Akshara Purusha in us, as Andaryami, when whose presence we realize inside us as Akshara Purusha. But when you realize him in all living beings as one, then he is Purushottama. He is Purushottama. But when he is realized in the jiva level, he is either in contact with the ahankaram or false ego, he is Akshara Purusha. So here you can see these two together, jiva with the world, which is Akshara Purusha, and Andaryami as Akshara Purusha, for two of them, as a witness of both, who is present in all the three worlds, who is present everywhere, who is the cause of everything, in this way, three tattvam there. Purushottama, Akshara Purusha, and Akshara Purusha. Three tattvam Krishna has spoken in that chapter, in these four verses. Is it not? Three tattvam he has spoken there. Then, one who has come to know all these three, Krishna says he is Sarvavit. He has known everything. So, first we have to know Akshara Purusha, then we have to know the Akshara Purusha, and finally you have to know Parama Purusha or Purushottama or Uttama Purusha. All different words. Parama Purusha, Uttama Purusha, Purushottama. Whichever way you call it, it's one and the same. And then you have known everything, Krishna says. Then you have known everything. In the 15th chapter, Krishna says. And the same thing in the 7th chapter, Krishna mentions Bhumi, Apanalo, Vayu, Khammano, Buddhi, Revaja, Ahangara, Idiyame, Bhina, Prakriti, Ashtada. Bhina, Prakriti, Ashtada. This Ashtada Prakriti, which means five material elements, mind, intelligence, false ego. All eight of them together is called Apara Prakriti. Apareya Mitastvanyam. It's called Apareya Prakriti. Apara Prakriti. Apareya Mitastvanyam. Prakritim vidhime param jiva bhutam mahabaho. Krishna says that jiva is the para prakriti. But problem is that jiva is connected with this apara prakriti. Isn't it? And therefore he says, jiva bhutam mahabaho yedam dharyate jagad. It is in the experience of the jiva only the world exists. That is why dharyate jagad, he is saying. Dharyate means dharanam. Dharanam means he supports this. He supports this. Because of our, only in the jiva consciousness, you experience the world. Not in the Akshara Purusha or not in the Purushottama state. World doesn't exist. That is Vedantam's conclusion also. Vedantam is saying to us that in the Akshara Purusha realized state or in the Uttama Purusha, Purushottama state, world doesn't exist. World doesn't exist. And that is why it's difficult for us to understand, because we are Akshara Purusha state still. Isn't it? So, these eight things, earth, water, air, ether and fire, mind, intelligence and false ego, all of them together is called apara prakriti. Para prakriti is separate and jiva is in the para prakriti, and these two things together, which one? Para prakriti and apara prakriti together is called pradhanam. The word sankhyam, sankhya philosophers uses that. Jiva bhutam mahabaho edam jarite jagad. So that this jagat or this creation, who is supporting that? Or in other words, that para prakriti, jiva, is present here in the form of this world. This is the conclusion. Jagadagaram. Jagadagaram means in the form of this world. What we are experiencing here now, as the world we say, this world is para prakriti or jiva. Or jiva. Jiva is the para prakriti. Jiva is the para prakriti which is present in the form of this world. Jiva, the world, they are always together. Without the world, jiva is not there. Without the world, modes of nature is there. Is not there. Modes of nature is present in the world as well as in the jiva. Vasanas are present in the jiva.
So jiva concept, if you take, that means when Brahman has taken these three different roles, which one? Uttama Purusha or Purushottama, or Andaryami or Akshara Purusha, or Jiva or Kshara Purusha. Jiva and Kshara Purusha, if you look at it from that state, world exists. If you come to the Akshara Purusha state, it doesn't exist. World doesn't exist. And if you come to the Purushottama states, Purushottama is only a witness of the Kshara Purusha and the Akshara Purusha. So here, Jiva Bhutam Mahabaho Edam Daride Jagat. So, Parama Purusha or Uttama Purusha or Purushottama, he remains there as the cause of both. Which one? Paraprakriti and Avaraprakriti. In other words, in the chapter 7 and in the chapter 15, he has spoken the Sankhyam in a different way, he has spoken here. And in Vedantam also, in generally, these things in the Sankhyam is accepted in the Vedantam also. Generally it is accepted. There is nothing spoken in the Sankhyam or in these Bhagavad Gita chapters also which is not against the principle of Vedantam. Now when we say principle of Vedantam, Vedantam is also not from one book alone, isn't it? It's a philosophical concept that has come from Upanishads, it has come from Bhagavad Gita and it has come from Brahma Sutra. From these three, what they call it as Prasthana Trayam. From these three, a codified philosophical concept has come. That is called Vedantam. So sometimes you will see that when the Acharyas have given their commentaries on these texts, for them most important thing is Advaita philosophy should be supported by the Bhagavad Gita and Upanishads as well as the Brahma Sutra. So in such a way they have written their commentaries. But somewhere you will see the influence of Sankhyam. And wherever there is disagreement with Sankhyam, they will reject that. Even if it is from the Upanishads text or from the Veda or on the Bhagavad Gita. So here in the Bhagavad Gita, Vedantam accepts that part of Sankhyam which is acceptable and which is accepted in the Bhagavad Gita also. And other part of the Sankhyam, Vedantam has rejected. So what is accepted? That is accepted in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahma Sutram, Upanishads. That is accepted in the Bhagavatam also. In the Bhagavatam also. Sometimes, why they have rejected Sankhyam is that some of their conclusions are opposite to the conclusions of the Vedantam. You must always remember that we don't reject Sankhyam because Sankhyam accepts the authority of Vedam. Moment you accept the authority of the Vedam, you have to accept that philosophy also that's come from the Vedam. So the Sankhya Shastram, it's not powerful anymore at the moment. It's not powerful anymore. And what remains today in the form of Sankhya Shastram, they have broken that into two. It's a modern thing it is. Vaidika Sankhyam, Avaidika Sankhyam. That Sankhyam which follows the Vedam and that Sankhyam which does not follow the Vedam. Out of that, only Vaidika Sankhyam is acceptable. Vaidika Sankhyam is acceptable. In Bhagavadam, in the Srimad Bhagavadam, in the third canto, in the end, Kapila Maharshi talks Sankhyam. Isn't it? Sankhya philosophy. That is 100% Vaidika Sankhyam. 100%. It is Vaidika Sankhyam. There, the creation process, Srishti Prakriya, and the Jiva's life after death, Samsara Gadi. This is what philosophy does, isn't it? Philosophy teaches us how creation has come, one. Number, what happens after death. What happens after? This is important for us. That means you are thinking on a higher level. It's not religion. It's philosophically absorbed. In other words, religion is this, that praying and getting things from Krishna, whatever we want in life. That is religion. But philosophical understanding is that what's your siddhantam? What is the goal of life? What happens after death? Life after death? A proper philosophical answer you require. And similarly, why we are born? Why do I get a particular form of body? Human body or animal's body? What's the reason behind it? This is all philosophy, isn't it? Ordinary people don't worry about all these things. For them, religion it is. Religion means that you are suffering, you want some relief from this misery, so you are praying to Krishna. Help me with this, help me with that. And like this, trying to find some shelter in Krishna. That is normal, what so called religion in this world. But acharyas, particularly all the great acharyas, they don't discuss it like that. They discuss it in form of philosophy. Tattvam, Siddhantam, that's more important for them. That's why when they write books also, everything is centered around the Siddhantam, what they want to. So, indeed on that basis, Vaidika Sankhyam, Avaidika Sankhyam, two forms exist. And out of that, the Sankhyam that is spoken in the Srimad Bhagavatam in the third canto is Vaidika Sankhyam. Is Vaidika Sankhyam. And you can see this if you want to understand Kapila Maharshi's way of looking at things. Chapter 25 to chapter 33. 25 to 33. It's called Kapilam. They call it Kapilam. Purely Kapila Maharshi's Siddhantam. Kapila Maharshi's Siddhantam. Everything is covered there. Have you looked? You will find there. If you look into that canto, you will see what is all discussed there. Jiva's birth. Jiva's birth is discussed there. Then, Jiva's life in this world, samsara gadi, how it goes through this world, how it gets transferred into another world, those things are discussed in that. Between who? Devahudi Devi and Kapila Vasudev. Devahudi Devi is asking questions and Kapila Maharshi is answering those questions. And the yoga processes available, bhakti, jnanam, karma, that's also discussed here. Samsara gadi, the yogatraya. Yogatraya means jnanam, karmam, bhakti. Then samsara gadi. And then he also talks about how we get birth in this world. Kapila Maharshi discussed that, all that, in that chapters 25 to 33. Bhakti yogam also discussed there, jnana yogam discussed there, karma yogam also discussed there. And then tattva nirupanam is there. They have how these 24 elements, prakriti, mahatattvam, ahamtattvam, then prakriti, mahatattvam, ahamtattvam. From ahamtattvam, these three, satyam, rajasam, tamasam, three things. Five material elements, mind, senses, intelligence, all together 24, how they were come into existence. All that is discussed in that Sankhyam. In Seshwara Sankhyam it's called. So, if you look into that, there is nothing in that Sankhya Shastram which does not agree with the Vedantam. All that is in that Sankhyam is all in agreement with Vedantam. That is why Vedavyas put that into Bhagavatam. Otherwise he wouldn't. If it was not agreeable, he would not have put that in the Bhagavatam. It is all agreement with the Vedantam. Therefore, because Vedavyas Maharshi is Vedantam's, is from Vedavyas, isn't it? So, Vedantam, whatever that is acceptable to Vedantam, he has put from Kapila Maharshi's Sankhyam into Vedantam. While putting that into Vedantam, he gives credit to Kapila Maharshi for giving that understanding. And he says, it is Kapila Maharshi's tattvam, not mine. You see how truthful they are to each other. Nowadays, what do? We take somebody else's and say, so I'm saying this is it. Even Vedavyas doesn't do that. Vedavyas is saying, it is Kapila Maharshi's realizations, we agree with that, he says. And that is what, saying that it is Kapila Maharshi's story, everything spoken. And then through Kapila Maharshi, he speaks the tattvam to Devahudi Devi. That is how it is. So, that is why. So, that is agreeable with Vedantam is Vaidika Sankhyam. So, similarly, all the Ulpati. Ulpati means the birth of all the different tattvam and their life. There's 25 elements spoken there, isn't it? Five senses of knowledge. Five senses of action. Five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. 10. Then there is five tanmatra. That means the subtle form of the material elements. Earth, water, air, ether and fire, they are tanmatra. Tanmatra is shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. So, five tanmatras, five material elements, five senses of knowledge, five senses of action. Total 20. Isn't it? 4 times 5, 20. Then added to that, mind, intelligence, false ego, 23. Then jiva, 24. So 24 tattvam is spoken there, in that Sankhya philosophy, it is spoken in that. So here, what we call as maya in Vedantam is called prakriti in the Sankhyam. It's called prakriti in the Sankhyam. Prakriti means what? As soon as you say prakriti, prakriti means, we'll ask, who's prakriti? It's always like that, isn't it? Prakriti means swabhav. Who's swabhav? Isn't it? It is, in other words, prakriti is not independent. It's always dependent on somebody. Sometimes we say about someone, oh, he gets angry all the time. So what will you say? Oh, don't take it very seriously. That's his prakriti. We say like that. That's his prakriti. Because that's his swabhav. What can you do? He always gets angry. So, suppose somebody gets always angry with something, then we say, oh, that's his prakriti, we say. So similarly, because, and therefore you can say, that only if he is there, his prakriti is there. So prakriti is always dependent on him. So depending on the person, the prakriti is there. Depending on the person, prakriti is there. And if he is not there, prakriti is not there. Similarly, a particular object has its own prakriti. Its own prakriti. In other words, either there has to be an object for which it has to have prakriti. So, in this way, if you look at the whole creation, you have to ask the question, whose prakriti is this creation? Whose prakriti is this? Because, and that is why they say, Sankhyam says, it is the prakriti of Purusha. Purusha's prakriti, it is. So, there, Purusha is important, prakriti is not important. Purusha is important. So that Purusha has been split into two. And then that is, one is Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. But he is Purusha who has been broken into two. Out of that, Paraprakriti is the Purusha and Aparaprakriti is the what we call as Prakriti. Originally there is only Purusha. He has broken into two, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti. Paraprakriti is called Purusha and Aparaprakriti is the one what we are dealing with, the world. From Paraprakriti, Paraprakriti comes Jiva. Paraprakriti comes Jiva. And the two things together, Paraprakriti and Aparaprakriti together, is called Pradhanam. It's called Pradhanam. So, it is from that Pradhanam that Jiva has come. Jiva has come. Sankhyam says like that. Sankhyam says like that. And that is not acceptable to Vedanta. Vedantam doesn't accept that. That from Pradhanam, Jiva has come. So, Vaidika Sankhyam alone is Vedantam has recognized. And there, they have separated Prakriti and Purusha. And then it says there, Prakriti means Jiva's Upadhi. Upadhi is Prakriti. For example, what is our Upadhi now? This body. Which means five material elements, five senses, knowledge acquiring senses, and action senses, karma indriyam and jnana indriyam, and mind, intelligence, ego. This is all part of this Aparaprakriti. So, prakriti means jiva's upadhi. All these things combined together is called upadhi. So, if you add all the upadhi and upadhi's work, upadhi dharmam, it is called. Upadhi and upadhi dharmam, if you bring them together, that is called creation from the Sankhya point of view. Sankhya point of view, upadhi and upadhi dharmam, if you join them together, that is called, that is called prapancham or creation. Now, we have got this mind, senses, intelligence, and all these are upadhis, isn't it? And these upadhis are existing, why? Because jiva is there. Since jiva is there, upadhis exist. So, where did the senses come from? senses came from, you remember, they came from Rajasa Ahankaram. Remember, Ahankaram split into three based on the modes of nature, Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam. From Satya Ahankaram came mind. From Rajasa Ahankaram comes the senses, and the Tamasa Ahankaram comes the material elements and the body. Material elements means body, it's one and the same. In Shastra, when they say, whether you say body or material elements, it's one and the same. Five material elements, and they have Tanmatra. Tanmatra means, first it comes in the form of Tanmatra, then it takes its gross form as elements, and then it turns into body. That's how it is. So, Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham, they are all the Tanmatra. Earth, water, air, ether, fire is the elements, and then we have got this gross body in the name and form. It takes a shape. So, that is spoken there. So, then we have got Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Trigunam. Isn't it? We have got Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Trigunam. Because Ahankaram breaks up into three, into Trigunam. And there is Mahatattvam. So, Mahatattvam, Ahankaram, Trigunam. And because of the interaction between the three modes of material nature, there is this variation has happened in the Ahankaram. It is in the Ahankaram that it splits into three, Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasam. Why did that happen? Because of the modes of nature. Three modes of nature split the Ahankaram into three, as Satvika, Rajasa, Tamasam. And Satvika Ahankaram came the Andhakaranam, or the subtle body. Rajasa Ahankaram came the senses. And from Tamasa Ahankaram came the Tanmatras. It came there. And from Tanmatra, Panjabhudam, the five material elements. And all these things together is called Prakriti. So Vaidika Sankhyam recognizes this, accepts this. There is no problem with it. And about this, this is what Vaidika Sankhyam accepts. And Vedantam also accept that. There is no disagreement there. So where did this all Prakriti has come from? It came from the Purusha. So, where is the proof that it has come from Purusha? How do you know that it has come from Purusha? Because I am Purusha. Because if I am there, only then the world exists. The one who knows the Prakriti is Purusha. Is it not? Suppose I don't exist, Purusha doesn't exist, then Prakriti also doesn't exist. Isn't it? So, suppose I don't know about this Prakriti, I am experiencing Prakriti, isn't it? Therefore, only Purusha is there, Prakriti is there. Only Purusha is there, Prakriti is there. Therefore, the person who knows Prakriti is Purusha. Where is the proof? Proof is in the deep sleep. Proof is in the deep sleep. Because in the deep sleep, as far as I am concerned, world doesn't exist. Why? Because Purusha is not there. I am not there. So, as far as I am concerned, when did this creation exist? Only when I wake up. When I come to awakened state or the dream state. This exists, isn't it? In other words, this world exists in me. You see? World exists in me. Not that I exist in the world. See that logic? How sound it is. Is it not? Or is not?
Yes.
It is. When you look at that logic, see how intelligent the rishis have thought about it. That they are saying to us that his whole creation, Prakriti, exists in the Purusha. So therefore, Purusha is, only Purusha is there, Prakriti is there. If Purusha is not there, Prakriti is not there. We keep on saying world, 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 we are jumping up and down about this world so much. And we want to find out where the world has come from. What Vedantam is telling us, world didn't come from anywhere because your Purusha is there, therefore the world exists. Atma is there, therefore Anatma exists. If Atma is not there, Anatma cannot exist. Atma is important, not Anatma. Even this concept has not gone into the brain, into the science. And they are still busy with Anatma, thinking that Anatma is the answer to all their problems. How stupid that is, isn't it? So you can see that Prakriti exists because Purusha exists. If Purusha is not existing, Prakriti is not existing. Therefore, Prakriti, as soon as you say Prakriti, whose Prakriti? Purusha's Prakriti. Purusha created this Prakriti. And he exists, he enjoys the Prakriti. He can exist on his own or he can exist with the Prakriti. Either way, he can exist on his own or he can exist with the Prakriti. This is the reason why Krishna is saying to us, Sudeva Goswami is saying to us, Vedavyasa Maharshi is saying to us, all the Acharyas are saying to us, Purusha is important, not the Prakriti. Purusha is important, not the Prakriti. So as far as, and you can see, they give this example that if the Purusha knows the Prakriti, Purusha knows that the Prakriti exists, therefore Prakriti exists. If Purusha doesn't have this awareness, it is in Purusha's awareness that the Prakriti exists, isn't it? If Purusha's awareness that the Prakriti exists. So, this capacity of awareness, where it came from Purusha, not from the Prakriti. So, it is in the awareness of the Purusha that Prakriti exists. Prakriti has no independent existence. So, therefore, as far as I am concerned, that world is not important, that exists in me. World exists in me. So, but why do I accept this existence of the world? Because in my knowledge, in my awareness, this world existing. Therefore I accept the world. Therefore I accept the world. So, now if you look into Prakriti and ask the Prakriti, any of the components in the Prakriti, do we as Purusha exist in their awareness? No. We don't exist in their awareness. They are not aware of our existence as Purusha. As Purusha. Because that is why they are called Jadam. They are called Jadam. We are called Chaitanyam. We are called Chaitanyam. I can be aware of their existence, but they can't be aware of my existence. Aware of my existence. So from this, therefore we can say that Purusha alone is the Chaitanyam. Everything else is Jadam. Everything else is Jadam. And everything that is Jadam is dependent on the Purusha. Is dependent on the Purusha. Chaitanyam will never depend on Jadam. Jadam will always depend on Chaitanyam. That is the principle. That is the principle. That's the first thing. And the same thing Krishna is saying to us. Na sato vidyade bhavo. Na bhavo vidyade sada. You see, Krishna is so, in the beginning itself, he puts this point across. And the way he says that is, Tanayor Tattva Darshivi. And who is this Tattva Darshivi? These personalities. Kabila Maharshi, Vedavyas, Patanjali, and all the great sages. They have accepted it that way. So, like they give the example, suppose there is a lamp burning there. And there is a, what do they call, the flame coming from the lamp. Now, you can see here, if the lamp is not there, the flame will not be there. Flame won't be there, isn't it? And if the flame is not there, the lamp is also not there. Flame is not there, the lamp is also not there. But the lamp is Jadam. The flame is the Chaitanyam there. Flame is the Chaitanyam there. Because the flame is the one that keeps that lamp live, Chaitanyam, into that, isn't it? So, and if that flame is not there, or the Chaitanyam is not there, that lamp is like any other object, like a table or a mic or a dead matter, isn't it? So, same thing. So, therefore it says that the lamp is a upadhi of the flame. Lamp is a upadhi of the flame. So, whether that upadhi is there or not, the flame can exist. Flame can exist in various forms, isn't it? Whereas if the flame is not there, you cannot call it as a lamp anymore. Similarly, if Purusha is not there, Prakriti is not there. But if Prakriti is not there, Purusha can still be there. Purusha can still be there. Therefore, Purusha is the truth, Prakriti is the false. Purusha is the truth, Prakriti is the false. Prakriti is Jadam, Purusha is Chaitanyam. This is the difference. And in that point of view, Vedantam and Sankhyam mutually, there is a little differences. But Vedantam generally accepts Sankhyam in these things. And Sankhyam also is in agreement with the Vedantam. So I think I will stop there today. we will take up this Sankhyam, I don't know when we finish Bhagavad Gita. Next now, we will continue, next two weekends, we'll have Bhagavad Gita, Saturday and Sunday, where we have stopped the, which 16th chapter, we'll continue with that. And then, when we come back from India, we'll continue with Bhagavad Gita, 17, 18 chapters. Then hopefully, we'll come back to Bhagavadam in the summer, if everything goes well till then. By Krishna's grace, we have managed these 9 days. So, I hope you have some benefit from that hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And seeing that Bhagavad Gita's philosophy, how great personalities like the Avadhuta Brahmana has taken in their own life and realized it. And that is our good fortune that we are able to listen to it, think about it, and feel some satisfaction from that. Stop there. All glory to Srila Prabhupada.